So we Christians often talk about faith. In fact, we talk a lot about faith, right? But do we really understand what faith is? Listen, I'm still trying to understand it. It's a big deal to really understand what faith really is. We know that it is by faith we are saved, right? We know that. We are not saved by works. We are saved by faith. And we know that faith is the foundation of our everyday life, right? But do we really know what faith is? Do we know that there are many blessings? Listen up, there are many blessings for you to cash out through faith. Blessings that you have not received because they are to be received by faith. I hope that piques your interest so you pay attention to the sermon like never before. There's stuff that you have not received because it is to be received by faith. Not by grumbling, not by works, not by complaining, not by, oh, poor me, I've had this horrible life. Not by arrogance, I can do this, I don't need anything. No, by faith. There are blessings that you have not cashed because they are to be received by faith. And do we know how to nurture that faith so that it grows? You guys know what it's like to have a very beautiful, strong, beautiful plant in your house. That's what the way we ought to think about faith. We ought to think about faith as, how is our faith? Is it one of those beautiful green plants that we see out there that are very well nurtured? The weeds are pulled out in time. They're fertilized. They're watered. That's how it grows. You don't make the growth, but you contribute to the growth. That's our faith. It's exactly like that. So, do we know how to nurture our faith so we can receive those things that we may not have yet received? Did you know that your faith can grow? Are you happy where it's at? Yeah, good enough, meh. I'm not here to preach meh faith. I'm here to preach strong, powerful faith. Do you know how to do that? How to nurture your faith? Well, thanks be to God, the Bible gives us the answers to all those questions. And let's look at what this specific passage teaches us about faith. Let me read verses 13 and 14 again, the first two verses that Jim read. It was not through the law, meaning works, right, that Abraham and his offspring receive the promise. There's the promise. A promise is a blessing, right? So when you read promise, think blessings. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. Abraham, a mere human. But through the righteousness that comes by works. You're not paying attention, are you? No, by faith. It was not through the law that Abraham, let's pay attention, because Paul is really a very highly educated theologian. And it's hard to understand unless you break down every sentence that Paul wrote into little bite-sized pieces so you can chew it and digest it. And believe me, the Greek is worse. Every other book is easy to read except Paul's writings. He's highly educated and he uses words in the Greek that no other writer uses. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing. Meaning, if you're waiting to receive blessings by works, then Faith doesn't have anything to do with that. It says faith means nothing and the promise is worthless. So pay attention, because faith is really important, is what Paul is saying to his readers. So what does this mean? Continue to break it down into bite-sized pieces. Well, verse 13 tells us that the promise of salvation that Abraham received, he did not receive it because of works. But verse 14 tells us that he received it through righteousness. Isn't righteousness behavior that is right behavior? So is that works? Let me read it again. Verse 14 tells us that he received it through righteousness, which implies works. But then it also tells us that this righteousness comes by, what do you, faith. You got it. So the right, there's a righteousness, there's a right walking with God, a right behavior, a right doing things right that comes not by works, not by effort, but which is just received by faith. That's what it's telling us. And then verse 16, in verse 16, we are told that this promise that comes by faith is guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring. Who are they? Okay, this is important because we're a small congregation. I'm going to make it proactive, interactive. Is Abraham's offspring, his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren? Is that where it stops, yes or no? Who is Abraham's offspring? We are. All of us are. Because the Bible tells us we were included in that faith. And later on, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So, let me read it again, verse 16. We are told this promise, if you read it again, summarizing here, that this promise that comes by faith is guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, you and me, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Remember the little song, Father Abraham? Had too many sons, or many sons, that's us, daughters too. So what does it all mean? This righteousness, which is needed for salvation, which is the proof of salvation, right acting, righteousness, is received by grace, and it is guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, us, you and me. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that in it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. Again, he is the father of us all. Let me read verse 18 so we can piece it all together. Against all hope, notice that. Do you know what that's talking about? Against all hope, when he was asked to sacrifice his only child, the child of the promise. Wouldn't you feel hopeless? God gives you this child, and then he says, go sacrifice it for me. I would feel, what's the hope now? That's the promise, child. And you ask, you give him to me, and then you ask me to sacrifice it? But it says, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so he obeyed, right? And by doing that, he became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. So shall your offspring be, us, living, acting by faith. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. So his belief, his choice to trust God and his promise against all hope was credited to him as right living, as righteousness. That's faith at work. Faith has feet. It obeys. It goes in the direction of the promise. It moves according to the promise. And it chooses to believe against all hope. This means that our faith is the way to receive the holiness, the righteousness, the wisdom, the power, the love of God, and all of his promises. Wow. We don't receive these things by works. We receive them by faith. We don't receive them by sight. We receive them by faith. This means that you have to risk. That's what Abraham did. Risk believing and possibly be disappointed. Why is it that we don't want to believe and trust? Because people have broken our trust in the past. And I don't know if I can even trust God. I'm just not going to take a risk. I'm not going to do this act of obedience. Because what if God fails? That's why it says of Abraham, against all hope, he still chose to believe. And it was credited to him as righteousness. We don't receive all these things from God by works or by sight. We receive them by faith. This means you have to risk believing God, extending your hand to believe. John Calvin, the founder of the Reformed churches and Christian Reformed churches, described faith as the hand of the soul, or an empty hand that receives Christ, his benefits, and the righteousness that he offers. So it's the hand. Faith is the hand that extends to receive. It's easier to try to work it, right? Okay, I did what I was supposed to do, God. Where's my price? Where's my reward? I did it. Faith is an empty hand. It has nothing to offer other than risking to extend the hand that will receive that which God has promised. Listen to the beginning of the chapter. It was too long for me to give it to Jim to read. But listen to the beginning of the chapter, the same chapter from where this passage that he read comes from. I'm going to read to you Romans 4, 1 through 5. It's not very long, but listen to it because it helps us to understand this whole mystery of faith. What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter. If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts, God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. So faith is so important to God. It's what this passage is telling us. So beneficial for us that we should be diligent in nurturing it. We can't just let it sit in the back burner and think that coming to Sunday services is enough. You don't water your plant. You don't stop watering your plant if you want it to grow. You don't stop taking care of your garden, pulling the weeds out if you want it to thrive. So, as we end, how then do we nurture our faith? We should know this. I'm not going to quiz you. But the gist of this passage is by obedience. So God says something, you do it. no matter what. No bargaining, no compromising. You obey. That's why Abraham was praised. He obeyed. So practicing obedience is number one. Two, let me read to you Romans 10:17 so you know. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. So reading the word of God, and Revelation tells us reading it out loud has a special blessing that comes with it. So you could practice reading it out loud when you do read it. There's a double blessing added to it. So number one, we nurture our faith by practicing obedience. Number two, by reading the word of God. Number three, by staying in fellowship with our fellow believers. You take a log out of a fire that is thriving, flames are high. Take it out and see how long it takes for it to go, just lose its fire. Not very long. So we nurture our faith also by staying in fellowship with our fellow believers, by coming to church, by going to Christian gatherings, by praying together, doing Bible study together. Are those three things active in your life? The goal is to have a strong faith. And this is what John tells us in 1 John 5:4 about faith. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, comma, our faith. Our faith. That's what John tells us in 1 John 5:4. And Hebrews 11:1 tells us, in case we don't know it, in case we forget, what faith is. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see, what is yet to come. And then it says, this is what the ancients were commended for. I would add, this is what Abraham was commended for. This is what the heirs of the faith were commended for. So, how is your faith? Is it in need of pulling out weeds, which is unconfessed sin, bad attitudes, negativity, complaining, gossip, all those things that we don't like? Is it in need of you to pull out those weeds? Is it a little bit weak, limping? Does it need to grow? Do you want it to grow? Do you want a stronger faith? I hope you do. So then you should practice obedience, unconditional obedience. God, you say, jump, all I ask is how high, where to? Reading the word of God, listening to it, reading it out loud, staying in fellowship with our fellow believers, gathering together to worship God in unison. Let me end with this verse. From this passage, 23 and 25. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us. That's what the passage says. To whom God will credit righteousness for us, again, who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered to death for our sins. Your sins are paid for. Stop lingering in shame and guilt. They're covered by the blood. Trust and believe once and for all. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for what? Our justification. That's the new life that comes after Easter. The crosses are gone. Thank you, Steve and Darla, for removing the crosses. But the work of the cross is still effective in our lives to produce holiness and righteousness, power and faith. Let us pray. Father, what a gift, you have given to us. Faith is a gift. We pray today that you will help us to nurture our faith and grow it so that it will be a beautiful plant that other people will come and say, how do you do that? How do you nurture that faith that you have? Teach me how, which is what I did, Lord, when I first came to you. Argentina, the spiritual mom you gave me, had this beautiful plant that was evident in her life and everything that she did. And I wanted to know how to do that in my own life. Father, may others come to curiosity and be looking for that because of the way we live, because of the way we love, because of the way we give, because of the way we serve, and because of the way we talk about you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we humbly ask that you will help us to nurture, to grow our faith. For the glory of God the Father, as we continually love our Jesus with an undying love and with unconditional obedience. This we pray in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.